We ended last year in the middle of, we started a sugya relating to dreams, which basically puts dreams in a very absolute perspective of a divine message of things to come, and to the extent that if a person doesn't have a dream for 7 days, it's a very bad sign, because why aren't they giving him messages? Why aren't they telling what's going on? So he began just seeing the Aruch HaShulchan, who really puts into perspective how we approach these things nowadays. So we're in the middle, where he's really getting to the point. So now I just want to preface this. Again, like we said, we always hear that today we don't pay attention to dreams. And I thought it's worthwhile to put it very clearly down why that is. So first of all, just in general, in order, this is what we ended off last time. In order for a dream to be taken seriously, it has to come completely out of the blue. Meaning, if there's any natural explanation of why you had this dream, then it holds no significance. Because your thoughts throughout the day, your experiences, things that are on your mind, even foods that you ate can influence the dreams that you have. Right? That's the famous story about the Roman Empress, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. He said, they say that you Jews are a wise bunch. Can you predict what I'm going to dream tonight? And Rabbi Yeshua said, sure. So you're going to dream tonight that you were taken captive by your enemies and that they put you to work grinding in a mill. So the emperor was very disturbed by that thought, and it was running through his mind all day. And sure enough, at night he dreamed about it. Well, you know, what you think about throughout the day, you dream about at night. So, what's that?
The ninth
parak. Oh, that's right, coming up in the ninth parak, that's right. So, therefore, things that were on your mind, even in a subtle way, if you dream about such things, they don't count. And therefore, I'll preface what the Aruch HaShulchan is going to say, but this is very interesting. In earlier times, people lived in small villages, had very little exposure to what was going on around them in the big world. And therefore, if you suddenly dreamed of some weird event, it could have significance. Nowadays, where people are up to date on what's going on all around the world, people have been reading horror stories since they're kids. People have been reading all kinds of fiction, imagination, and also hearing of every last event that happens anywhere in the world. There's nothing that's not in our frame of reference, at least in a subconscious way. And therefore, almost any dream you have, it'll be very rare that you have a dream that's not connected to something you heard sometime in the broad past. Right? Things that made an impression on you. It's very rare, right? You have some really crazy dream. What is it? It's connected to some story you read 3 years ago. Now, the fact that the story wasn't about you and this is about you, that's already immaterial. Well, listen to how the Aruch HaShulchan, and therefore, we generally don't pay attention to dreams today. Well, listen to how the Aruch HaShulchan puts it down, and this is very, very insightful. He says as follows, but this also holds Musar in it. So he said that the Gemara poses the contradiction, right? One pasuk says, quote Hashem speaking, "Bachalim adaber by," I communicate through dreams. And the other pasuk says, "Bachalim ois Hashem yidaberu," dreams speak falsehood. And the Gemara answered, "Well, it depends who conveyed the dream. Like kashe kanali de malach kanali de shein. It depends. If the dream was brought on by a malach, then it's got significance. It's the real thing." If it was brought on by a shade, then it's meaningless. So as we said, that doesn't really help us much, because how do you know? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that actually what the Gemara means is what we just discussed. Now listen to this. Koyma, what does this mean if the dream was shown to you by a malach or by a shade? He says as follows. Ha'isha shehu tar, a person who is pure, meaning sheltered, secluded. Machshavosav v'kayra v'yira. And what fills his mind? Kayra and yira shemayim. V'yashin shaloi b'milu keres. And he sleeps not on a full stomach. That we also saw can affect dreams. If a person eats and is full before going to sleep, that can also have chemical things going on in his head. Fine. Hachalom shel ish kazeh vada yesh bay mamish. Such a person's dream is significant. Shemarim lo min ha-shamayim. He says, what does it mean that it was brought about by a malach? He says, what it means is as follows. They are showing him these things divinely. When a person is engaged in only the right things, he has malachim assigned to him to protect him. Or the way it's put in other sources is, you actually create malachim through your righteous deeds, through your pious deeds, through your Torah learning, through your tefillos, etc. Kidiksev, like it says in the pasuk, ki malachav itzavela, because he assigns his malachim to you to guard you and protect you. So now, what he's saying is as follows. This dream was brought on by means of malachim. It doesn't mean that there's some malach who's in charge of filming dreams. What it means is, this person has malachim fighting for him up in Shemayim. And therefore, if something is going to be happening to him, to his town, to the area, there will be malachim up in heaven pushing that he should get a warning about it in advance, so that he should be able to act. And therefore he gets this dream. That's what we mean. A person who has malachim fighting for him can assume that a dream that he had was brought on by a malach, and therefore it's meant as a message and he's supposed to take seriously. Okay? That's what we mean by we say a dream brought on by a malach. Aval ha'anoshim ha'pshutim. But the common folk, hamishukain bahavle ha'olam, who are all busy with the nonsense of the big world, meaning they're busy filling their minds with, there might be a little bit of terror there too, but there's all kinds of everything around the globe fills their mind, right? That's what they're busy with, and they're busy thinking of all kinds of things. Their mind is busy and packed. He says when a person's mind is full of these things, that's shaydim. That's what we mean by shaydim. He's letting all kinds of shaydim into his mind. Nonsense prancing around in your mind are shaydim. So he says, what does the word shayd mean? Listen to this. Shayd is from the root of the word shoy, robbery. What's a shayd? Hashaydim hatzlocha ta'adam amit. He says, shaydim are people who are beings, who rob people of their success. That's what a shayd is. He's there to trip people up, right? That's what we know in the Gemara. That's what shaydim are busy. He says, a shayd can take on many forms. A shayd can take on the form of some silly preoccupation that's filling your mind. That's also a shayd. It's busy robbing you of the true focus of having the right things in your mind. And these shaydim, meaning these distractions which rob a person of true success, those dreams are nonsense. Meaning, if a person has all kinds of nonsense prancing around in his mind, and then he has a dream, what on that dream? All the things his mind was full of. That is a dream brought on by a shayd. Which shayd? The shayd that you allowed into your head. So sometimes, we know shaydim as scary creatures. But there are many shaydim that people invite. Right? You open up a paper, or you open up, you connect to the right channel, and you say, welcome shaydim, this way in. And they fill your mind. So then what do you accept? What?
Not purposely, just through your action.
That's called purposely. Now, Bainban Mamish, he says, okay, that's that. But as far as dreams go, mainly the dreams are meaningless because they're caused by all the things going through your mind. So we presented it before in a technical way, meaning, if you have all kinds of things in your mind, in your frame of reference, all kinds of fantasies or occurrences, that's what you attribute the dreams for. So he says, that's what we're calling shaydim. The koshikein oisim oisim ha'bikoidim ha'sheina. So he gets back to that other point. Certainly people who eat before going to sleep, that all the different the chemical effects of the food get the imagination going. And there is nothing to them. Okay. This is our Hashulchan Reish Chav Sif Aleph. Yeah, the person is above Madrid. Oh, that's for sure. Oh, that doesn't need to be stated. Not exactly. Here it's a little bit more of a supernatural element. I mean, the fact that he has a dream of something that's not connected to any of this story. He had a dream, a strange dream. What dreams? That's not exactly what he's saying. I mean, he's not saying that the person dreamed concepts of Torah. He's saying that he dreamed of something that represents things to come. Because it's coming from Torah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, that's the perspective that the Aruch HaShulchan gives on this, and it leaves us with some food for thought. Okay, now, what I'll just add is, like, if you want to just take this practically, that, as I said before, the Shulchan Aruch already cites the opinions, Simen Reish Peches, that dreams today don't have significance because go construe a dream, go attribute it to the right places. He does, though, note very specific qualifications that do indicate that there's something to a dream. Notes some specific simanim, but, alright, if you want to see, look there. I'm not going to say it over because then people will start having those dreams. What's that? The tefillah after Birkas Kohanim. The tefillah of Birkas Kohanim, we should say, because the Maaseh Chazal said to say. Meaning the Chazon Ish, for example, has somebody wrote him a letter asking him about a dream that he had. And someone wrote the Chazon Ish a letter asking him about a dream that he had. A disturbing dream. And the Chazon Ish wrote back, I've had many such dreams and I don't pay attention to them. Just say the Rebbeinu Shalom and my Birkas Kohanim and that's all. Meaning, yeah, we do say the Rebbeinu Shalom and Birkas Kohanim because at the end of the day, maybe you did have something there. It's kedai to play safe. But to start worrying about the dreams and trying to figure out what does it mean, this, that, that not.
Do we bother? You know, everybody's in the custom, somebody tells them a dream, you say, the long code.
Is it a, we can't call it a shtus. We can't call it a shtus. What we're doing now is justifying disregarding it.
But they say it goes by like the first person who purposes, so you're supposed to say the long code, the first person should say that.
Yeah, yeah. But again, if you want to just ignore it, you can do that.
So do we do it on the Shalom anymore?
Generally not. And certainly not on Shabbos. Meaning, the Ikar HaDin, we said, you can do a Tainus HaDin, you can fast, you got a bad dream, even on Shabbos. Today, that we don't do. Other than that, a person wants to worry about his dreams. Some people like it. Some people like, you know, the intrigue. Had a bad dream. I want to be worried. It's fun. It's spiritual. Oh, you can do that if you want. But what we're saying is that if you want to disregard it, you can do that too. I shouldn't put it that way. I don't make so much of it. People still go with the approach, the old approach, that dreams mean something. Okay, we'll grant that. But what I'm saying is, what we do here, many authorities just saying, forget it. It's based on this. Okay. Now we'll move on. Another point on dreams. Where Yudali Damud Aleph, five lines up from the bottom. Alright? Five lines up on the bottom. Omar le Rav Acha Breide Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Acha Breide Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, "Hachi Omar Rabbi Chiya Omar Rabbi Yechonon." Here's what Rabbi Chiya said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon. He has a little bit of a different take on the pasuk that we expounded before. It says, "V'tzovea Yolin Bali Poked Ra." So again, we said that the simple understanding of that pasuk is, he will sleep satiated and will not be informed of evil. So, the previous sheet in the Gemara construed that to be referring to a person who has no dreams. But he says in a little bit of a different way, a person who goes to sleep satiated will not be informed of evil means that if a person satiates himself with Torah, Vilan, and then he goes to sleep, he will not be informed of bad tidings. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, v'soveh yolin, if a person goes to sleep satiated with divrei Torah, bal yipoked ra, he will not be informed of bad tidings. Oh, so this, first of all, what does this mean? What? Oh, you want a heads up? Oh, the chazan, some sefer asks that question.
I don't want you.
What's that?
When I'm full, I don't want anymore.
Okay. So, no, we're talking about satiation in divrei Torah.
Yeah, I don't want anymore.
Oh, okay, no, it doesn't have to mean full in that. Satiated. Not full. Yeah. Person is never full in divrei Torah. Yeah. Now, what it means is, yeah, when a person goes to sleep, makes a point of learning Torah, and then he goes to sleep, so, oh, shkoyah, he will not be informed of bad tidings. Because some sefer is, so Rebbe will just say, is that a good thing? If dream, meaning, this means that he won't be informed of bad tidings and dreams. That's what it means. He won't show in dreams that indicate bad things. Some sefer says, is that a good thing? Wouldn't you want to be warned if something bad is going to happen? Like, the implication is, there might be bad news up ahead, but we're going to spare you the knowledge. What's so good about that? The Chassam Sofer says that no, what this means is, this is kind of related to what we said before, just from a different angle. He said, certainly, when something bad is going to happen, and you will be knowing about it, will help you deal with it, so certainly they'll show you that in a dream, when a person is on the right level, right? Chassam Sofer himself took dreams that he had very seriously. He said, certainly, if there's something to be gained by knowing about it, then you'll be informed. But in those situations where there's nothing you can do about it anyways, and it's just an issue of knowing about it beforehand and being worried, it's a taiva not to worry about it beforehand. Ignorance in these sorts of situations is bliss. And that's what we're saying. This is a specific bracha. We're not saying this is the schar of learning Torah. This is a specific bracha. If there's something bad that's going to happen, it'll come by surprise. Unless there's something you can do about it. But otherwise, that's a special bracha. But they won't have the worry about it beforehand. By the way, I'll just add that often, bad events are very, very much enhanced by all the stress that goes into them beforehand. Sometimes, something happens. Suddenly, it's over. Okay, you deal with it. But when a person is anticipating it, he spends weeks fretting, and then he also receives it much worse. So actually, by saying that you won't know about it beforehand, can often mean that the bulk of the experience is actually being alleviated. There's actually a person who said, this is one of the Chachmei HaGoyim said, my life is full of terrible things that never happened. Meaning what? That often we spend so much time worrying about eventualities. Right? Worrying about this, worrying about that. Afterwards, you should sometimes look back and say, in the past 10 years, how many things were I worried about that never materialized? You'll see that the percentage is usually, by most people, usually the percent that from the things you worried about, most of them didn't end up happening. Or not, at least not in the way that you were afraid of. It makes sense mathematically, because you're always picturing the worst possible scenario. What are the chances that that'll happen? Maybe 3/4 of the worst possible scenario will happen. How often does the worst possible scenario happen? So therefore, what's that? I forgot the name. One of the Chachmei HaGoyim. I wouldn't quote it by name anyways. Yeah. That's what he meant when he said, my life is full of terrible things that never happen. Okay. That would be included if you're able to do something about it. But there are situations where Hashem decided it's happening. In which case, no, even beforehand. Not always is the tefillah answered in the way you want. We don't know, but Hashem knows. Who's the one giving the dream? And Hashem knows, here is something I'm bringing, and tefillah will not change it. So he does the person a favor by not telling him that beforehand. If it's an issue of should we tell or not, we can't go by, well, can he change it? Because we never know. He can change it through his tefillahs. When Hashem is deciding whether to give a person a dream, he knows whether tefillah will make a difference or not. Okay. Shkoyah. We'll move on. Eloin Ben Aprokim. the Mishnah delineated, we said that in between the chapters, between the brachas of Kriyat Shema, and in between the actual chapters of Kriyat Shema, the halachas of Hefsek are a bit more relaxed. Right? So, what among the breaking, the stopping points, we said, in between Vayomer and Emes V'Yatziv, right? Vayomer is the latest parak of Shema. Emes V'Yatziv is a new bracha. So therefore, natural understanding, as the Tanakhama says, is that after Ani Hashem Aleichem, that's a stopping point, the next bracha is Emes V'Yatziv. But Rabbi Yehuda said what we're more familiar with. He said, no, don't interrupt between Ani Hashem Aleichem and Emes. And therefore, we finish off Kriyat Shema by saying Ani Hashem Aleichem Emes. But actually, we have to realize that that Emes is already moving into the next bracha. It's not really part of Kriyat Shema. Therefore, for example, I'll just note an important implication of this. Not so important, it doesn't really matter, but a significant implication. When you're repeating Kriyat Shema, you made early Shabbos and you're repeating Kriyat Shema later, there's no need to say Emes. It's not, Emes is the first word of the next bracha. You finish up, Ani Hashem Aleichem. Yeah. Emes is beginning the next bracha. But what's that? Well, you say it since Chazal said it as the next bracha, and as we'll see, once it's there as the next bracha, you should move straight into it. But just to say it when it's not actually established,
when you're doing it later at night, why would you say
Emes? Right, that's right.
So you're saying
you don't need to.
Well, we should not say it.
I don't know if you should not. You say whatever you want after Kriyat Shema. There's nothing wrong with
saying
it. No, I'm just saying, you know, that's why I said it's not an important implication, it's just a significant implication. Okay. So let's see. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you mean in that case? I don't know. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, go, Ani Hashem Aleichem Emes. Don't interrupt in between. So, Omar Rabbi Avol, Omar Rabbi Yechonah, Halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, who said, "Bein Eloikechem le'emes v'yatziv lo yapsik." Do not break in between Eloikechem and the words "emes v'yatziv," which is what we do. Now, why is this? After all, it is a new bracha. So, Omar Rabbi Yechonah, my time made Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Diksiv. Because there's another pasuk out in Yirmiyah that says, "Vashem Elokim Emes." It says it that way altogether, "Hashem Elokim Emes." So therefore, once we're saying Kriyat Shema that ends with "Hashem Elokim," and once we're beginning the next bracha that begins with "Emes," we stick it together, just like the pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Hashem Elokim Emes." But there it's "Hashem Elokim Emes." Here it's "Hashem Elokim Emes." Okay. It's the beginning of Gal Yisrael. It's a long bracha. Okay. Not before saying Emes. You say Hashem Aleichem Emes, and then you wait. But otherwise, that's the question coming up. Very good. Let's see. The Gemara asks exactly your question. Chayzer ve'oimer Emes. All right, you said Hashem Aleichem Emes, and you waited 2 minutes for the chazan to conclude. Now you're starting the next bracha. So maybe you should start again. Emes v'yatziv v'nochayim. So chayzer v'oimer Emes. Do you repeat the word Emes? I ain't chayzer v'oimer Emes. Or do you not repeat the word Emes? So Omar Rabbi Avol, Omar Rabbi Yechonon, chayzer v'oimer Emes. He says, yes, you do repeat the word Emes. Ani Hashem Aleichem Emes. You wait for the chazan. Chazan finishes. You start next. Emes v'yatziv v'nochayim. That's what he says.
So in the morning, do you kiss the tzitzis again? Because when you're finished, you kiss the
tzitzis. Well, wait. We're not going to follow this halacha. We'll see. This is not going to be accepted. Let's see. Rabbi Omar. Rabbi says no. Einoy chayzer v'oimer Emes. After you said your emes there, Ani Hashem Aleichem Emes, you do not repeat the word emes. When the chazan later finishes, you begin v'yatziv and Therefore, yes, all of our Sidurim are correct. And that's how it appears in the Siddur. Ne'ashem alikeichem emes, then ve'yatziv. Now, ha'hu denochis kamei derabba. There was a chazan who went to daven for the Amun in the presence of Rabba. Sham e Rabba da Omar emes emes shrei zimni. And Rabba heard that he did repeat the emes twice. Said ani Hashem alikeichem emes. Then when he started the next part, he said emes v'yatziv. So Omar Rabba said kol emes emes tafse lahai. Rabba kind of made a joke out of it. He said, oh, this guy is caught up with the word emes. He really likes the word emes. He likes to say it a lot. Meaning his point was that no purpose in doing it this way. Now I'll add that it's not just that there's no purpose in doing it this way, but the place can say one should not do it this way. You don't repeat the word emes because that is kind of like the idea that we said you should not say Shema twice consecutively. But it's like you're saying there are two unities, two entities. So by saying emes, you kind of denoting there are two such truths. You don't say emes twice. What's that? Oh, so once you said emes, you're already on to the next, you're in the middle of the next chapter. That's right, it's connected. I mean, you're already in the big, in middle of the next chapter. Once you said emes, you're already in the middle of the next book. You have to realize that. It's not, we're not saying that Kriya Shema ends with emes. We're saying that you're moving in, and therefore, no, it has the same severity as any other middle of the chapter. Okay. Now, we'll just make a couple of points lahalacha. A couple of points lahalacha that the place can say that actually, when we say not to interrupt between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes, it's not just that we're saying that it doesn't have the leniency of a stopping point. We're saying that it's even more severe. Not only is it like the middle of a chapter, but it's even more severe than a typical middle of a chapter. Meaning, you should not interrupt at all, not even with a pause. Go straight. Not even with pausing. That's one thing to realize, la'alacha. And what's that? Because this pasuk is not naturally connected. In order to really make that connection, you have to make a point of getting it in good. Okay? And now, one other point, and this is something you can relate to however you want, meaning it's a suggestion. It's a shaila, whether when we say you should go straight into emes, if you should actually say the word emes v'yatziv as well. That's certainly not how it appears in the Siddur. This will be a little confusing if we're meant to do this. But some place can note that what was Rabbi Yehuda's wording? Rabbi Yehuda said, he didn't say don't interrupt between Hashem Aleichem and Emes. He said don't interrupt between Hashem Aleichem and Emes V'yatziv. So some place can infer from that 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 means you should say Ani Hashem Aleichem Emes V'yatziv and then stop there. Some say that. Mishnah Berurah says it's something to take into consideration, but it's not worth making yourself too crazy to readjust your habits in the middle of davening and get confused, but it's something to take into consideration if it's easy enough, or if you anyways find yourself doing it, you don't have to break the habit.
Does anybody know him to do that?
I don't know. Okay. Now, just note one interesting point before we move on. It's a little strange. We have to touch up the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ani Hashem Aleichem." Now we're saying, "Hey, Yirmiyo said it great, in a better way. He added emes, so we're going to say Ani Hashem Aleichem emes. We need to touch up the pasuk. Hashem didn't say it that way, and we're saying it that way. What's the idea here? It's very, very important also because the pasuk as is. Are we saying it's not good enough? What's going on here? Very strange." This is really a question that should hit you. Now, I did not find discussion on this. I'll just tell you, I'll share what seems to me. Hashem doesn't have to say, Aniyah Hashem Elikeichem Emes. When he's talking, I have to say it's true that I exist. Right? Obviously not, right? He says, Aniyah Hashem Elikeichem. Our job is to be reinforcing the truth of it. It's our job to be saying Emes. It's our job to be emphasizing this truth. For us, this is something that needs to be confirmed and emphasized. Oh, and Hashem himself is talking? He doesn't have to say, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm really here. So therefore, yes, on the contrary, we're bringing out the difference between us and Hashem. He said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And we're saying, Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. Very representative of our function in general. Okay, we'll move on. Bama Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Kama ma'alya hoshmaitze. Look how well said the following this statement is. Viki osa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Omar. And Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda came, he said as follows. You see, we should wonder, a good question, why do we say Vayomer at night? Say Vayomer is Parshas Tzitzis. It's not applicable at night. So why do we say Vayomer at night? And the answer is, as we're going to see now, yeah. What's that? But how did he get into Shema? Because Shema... Sorry? The bracha before Shema? Shema, right, fine. But the third paragraph of Shema, why do we need that? Skip it and go to the brachas. And the third paragraph of Shema is about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Mitzvah of tzitzis, we said, is applicable during the day. At night, not. Oh, so what's the answer? The answer is because we also have the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim there, and that is an obligation at night. Right? So...
Could you have the paragraph without the tzitzis, just Yetzias Mitzrayim?
What's that?
Could you have had the paragraph just about Yetzias Mitzrayim, skip the tzitzis
part? Oh, so that's basically what the Gemara is getting to now. So really, the reason that we say it is because you need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Now, the truth is that you still didn't need to say the third paragraph because the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim you can fulfill through the bracha of Emes V'Emunah that we say afterwards. So really, the reason that we say Vayomer is in order to lead into Emes V'Emunah. Hear that? A little bit anticlimactic. Right? Why do we say Vayomer at night? Because it's our way of leading into Emes V'Emunah. Right? We said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then Emes is a good way of phrasing it. We're not going to just say Hashem Elokeichem Emes V'Emunah because we're not going to just start in the middle of a pasuk. So in order to be able to say Hashem Elokeichem Emes V'Emunah, we already say the whole parsha of Vayomer. See, hear that? Vayomer, we say the whole thing just as a means of concluding Hashem Elokeichem Emes V'Emunah, etc. Chazay Sekayim Aleinu. So therefore, since really at night, the content of Vayomer is not really relevant. It's just that we want the conclusion. In order to get to the conclusion, we go through the whole thing. So, listen to this. Listen what they did in Eretz Yisrael. They had a good, what he called a good cup. Amri b'marove arvis, in Eretz Yisrael, when they daven Mayriv, they say like this. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe l'emor, Daber el bnei Israel, ve'omar to aleihem, ani Hashem Elokeichem emes. You hear that? That way, they kind of make an abbreviated version of Vayomer. The whole point is to lead up to ani Hashem Elokeichem, so we get right to the point. Sorry? What's that? Oh, right. The Gemara is not finished. That's right. But they did that before our time. They were doing.
How do you read again?
Daber b'nei Yisrael v'matah aleihem, ani Hashem aleikeichem emes. they skipped the whole middle.
That's safe.
Yep. Now, what's that? Oh, so let's see. So Amar le Abaye. So Abaye said, wow, you're so impressed with this idea. They had a great idea, right? Maimal Yusa. What's so great about that? But Amar Abkana, Amar Rav. Abkana said in the name of Rav, you can't do that. You can't start a parsha and then not say it right. You're right that that Yoimer might not be necessary at night, but you can't start something without saying it right. So therefore, he said as follows. Lo yaschil. If you want, skip it. You don't have to start by Yoimer. And he says, very serious, that by Yoimer really does not have to be said at night. This question is, how do you go about it? He said, if you want, skip it. But, Beim Yischil Goimer, if you do start it, you have to say the whole thing right. You can't chop up parshias. Vechitema. So maybe you'll say no. When he said that once you start it, you have to finish, he didn't mean that once you say one word, you have to finish it. He meant once you really begin the subject. So therefore, you might say, V'amarta aleim lo yahabe aschol. Until you actually start talking about tzitzis, you haven't really started the subject yet. So therefore, if you just say, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleim, speak to the Jewish people and say to them, you haven't really started yet, and you can go straight to, say to them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Say to them, I am Hashem your God. So maybe that's why they figured, it's okay, it's not called stopping in the middle. We didn't really start. So it's not true. Once you said V'amarta aleim, that is called starting, and therefore you can't jump. V'omav Shmuel bar Yitzchok, omarav, Dabel b'nei Yisrael lo yahabe aschol. You're right that if you just say the words Dabel b'nei Yisrael, that's not called starting. But V'amarta aleim avi aschol. But once you say the words V'amarta aleim, you've started the subject, and you cannot skip parts. So what were they doing in Eretz Yisrael? They started the subject and then they jumped to the end. So Omar Papa. So Papa answers, Hasabri b'marove. In Eretz Yisrael they hold that the Omarto aleihem nami lo yahave aschol. No, just saying, speak to the Jewish people and say unto them, is still not called starting the subject. Ad the Omar, what? So let's see. Ad the Omar va'osu lohem tzitzis. Until he's saying they shall make tzitzis. Because let's remember, what's the subject? The subject is tzitzis. As long as you haven't actually mentioned the command of tzitzis, you haven't really began the subject. It's still preamble. As long as it's preamble, you can still skip to the end. So that was the approach in Eretz Yisrael. No, this is only because... No, but this is only because essentially Vayomer is not required. Right? Again. It's only part of Shema because of the mitzvah tzitzis. But at night it's not part of Shema. Oh, but that you have once you say Emes Ve'emunah. Meaning the bracha following Shema covers your Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's that? The formula of the bracha is not Deoraisa. But Midoraisa, you don't have to say the Parsha Vayomer per se. Midoraisa, the obligation is to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can do it even in your own words. Meaning if you say, you sit down at night and you say, oh, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, you've discharged the Deoraisa obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just generally, we say Vayomer because we want to mention the Parsha of Tzitzis. But at night, that's not relevant. And therefore, yes, everybody is saying, at night, Vayomer is not really part of Shema. As long as you're going to say Emes Ve'emunah afterwards. You say Emes Ve'emunah afterwards, that covers Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Vayomer can be skipped. The only reason we say Vayomer is because we want to use it to lead into Emes Ve'emunah. So therefore, if you want to cut out the middle, you can stick to the part that's just called the preamble, it's not really called starting the subject, and then you can skip straight to the end. Machlokes between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel was, and in Bavel they said, once you say the words of Amarta Aleim, you started. And now you have to go through the whole thing. In Eretz Yisrael they said, no, you can say Amarta Aleim, you still haven't started until you actually mention the command of Tzitzis. Therefore you can say Amarta Aleim and jump to the end. Okay. So now, Omer Abaye, so Abaye says, so what do? We want to get, we want to follow everybody's minhag. So therefore, Hilkoch Anan Aschulim Aschulino. Therefore, we do begin the same way they begin in Eretz Yisrael. If in Eretz Yisrael they say, until Ve'omarto Aleim, you shall say unto them, we also do. Okay? V'kometz Maschulim B'marava. Since they say all that in Eretz Yisrael, we say that too. Now, the difference between us and Eretz Yisrael is going to be that whereas they hold that you can then skip to the end, we don't. So in following their practice, we get ourselves into a situation where, according to our Shita, we will have to finish the whole thing. V'kivan da'aschulinon. And therefore, once we do begin, in a manner that according to us constitutes beginning the subject, Migmar nami gamrinon, we do say the whole parsha. The Omar Rav Kahana Omar Rav, because Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav, lo yaschil. You can't, if you want, don't begin. But v'im hischil goymar. But once you do begin, you have to finish the whole thing. So therefore, in other words, what we're saying is as follows. We're kind of catching the rope at both ends, lechumra. In Babel they said, if you want, just skip it. Now, we're not just skipping it because in Eretz Yisrael they start. In Eretz Yisrael they hold that you can start and skip the middle. But in Babel they said, no, once you do start, you got to finish it. So therefore we catch the rope at both ends, lechumra. We start because they start in Eretz Yisrael. But then we say the whole thing because in Babel they say that once you start, you got to finish. So that explains our practice. Therefore, we start. Once we start, we continue. And we go all the way to the end. And therefore, yes, Shema remains as it appears in our Sidurim. We're not going to outsmart our Sidurim at the end of the day. We're going to see all kinds of things that indicate otherwise, but okay. Now, that's part of a Ahayah. That's part of a Ahayah.
Second.
Yeah. Okay. So now, let's just repeat what we just said before. We say that you can skip Vayomer. But that doesn't mean that you can skip Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? You can skip Vayomer because you're going to be saying a bracha that mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that was well enough. But now let's see the following. Here we're going to run into problems. Chia Barav Omar. Chia Barav says, Omar Ani Hashem Elokeichem Tzorich Lomar Emes. If you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you have to continue with the bracha of Emes Vemuna, etc. Loi Omar Ani Hashem Elokeichem. But if you did not say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Einai Tzorich Lomar Emes. You do not have to continue with Emes Vemuna. Oh, so now what? Now we're taking this a step further. Before we said you can skip Vayomer. Now we're saying, once you skip Vayomer, you can skip Emes Ve'emunah as well. So that the Gemara is surprised at. That can't be. V'oboilad kui Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now you are already doing away with Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you're saying, once I skip Vayomer, I'm going to skip Emes Ve'emunah as well, when will you mention Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Gemara answers, you can say, you're right, you certainly will have to say something. All we're saying is you don't have to go through the whole nusach of Emes Ve'emunah. But if you want to just skip the whole thing, you can instead say Domar Hochi, you say the following Ma'idim Anachnu Lach, meaning in the Gemara's times, this is how it works. There were two routes you could take. If you want, you said Vayomer Emes Ve'emunah. But if you wanted, you could just replace all that with the following, a brief little feel about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You say, Ma'idim Anachnu Loch Hashem Elokeinu, we thank you, Hashem Elokeinu, Sheitzei Sonu Me'etz Mitzrayim, that you took us out of Mitzrayim, Ufti Sonu Me'beis Avodim, and you redeemed us from the house of bondage, Ve'asir Solonu Nisim Ugvuroi Salayam, and you performed for us mighty miracles on the sea, Visharnu Loch, and we sang to you. Kind of make short shrift. Instead of Vayomer Emes Ve'emunah, you say this. And yes, in the times of the Gemara, this was, you can go either way. But Lamaisa, this isn't relevant for us because, as we already saw, Abaye laid down the law. He said, no, we do go with this. custom of Eretz Yisrael, which is to begin. Once we begin, we do have to finish, and therefore you have to continue all the way through. Vayomer, Emes Vemuna, etc. Okay. That Yetzias Mitzrayim was both. I mean, that's what we discussed in the first parak, that there was the nighttime element and the daytime element.
They didn't leave.
Right, but they were allowed to leave. That's the whole shaila. It's right. It's not the same. It does not have the same significance. Which is also why we saw that there is a different sheet that you don't have to say it at all at night. But Lamaisa, we follow the sheet that derives from Pasuk. You have to say it at night as well, and that's yet. As we've seen, there was that nighttime element of redemption as well. Okay. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha. We go back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha had said, Lama kodma parsha shema? Yeshua ben Kocha had explained why we have Shema set up in this order. Shema, then Vahaya, and then Vayomer, right? He gave his explanation. We'll see it again soon. But, now we're going to go on to see another explanation of why Shema follows this order. Tanya, Braisa says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Oimer, Bedinu sheyakdim Shema levahaya im Shemaya. It is indeed appropriate that Shema precedes Vahayim Shemaya. Why? Because practically this is the order it needs to follow. How's that? Shezel lilmoid vezel ilamid. Because Shema, Ve'ahavta, talks about learning Torah. Vahayim Shemaya talks about teaching Torah. Which do you need to do first? Obviously you have to learn first and then you can teach. Not everybody agrees with that, right? There are people who teach before they learn. But at least that's the old-fashioned theory. You got to learn it before you teach. In Vahavta. Oh, good. Okay, good. Now, Vahayim Shemaya Vayomer. Why does Vahaya come before Vayomer? Shezel Lilmoit. Because this is about learning and teaching, while Vayomer is about performance. So again, the learning element obviously comes before the performance. Well, that's not so obvious, but meanwhile, at least at first glance. So therefore he says it's just practically this is the order it has to follow. Learning, teaching, and performing. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, yeah, the limad temoisim es b'neichem. I'm sorry? Right. It's also about that. And that's Rabbi Shimon ben Kocha's approach, and we're going to see soon that's the issue. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, reward and punishment isn't the reason to put it first, second, or third. What's the reason to put this first, this second, and this third? It's because of the practical order. Learning, teaching, performing. Good. I want to touch on that. I'm not sure if we'll still manage today, but I want to touch on that. Good, right. Okay, so now the Gemara says, basically what you just said before. Atu Shema, so what are we saying? Shema ve'ahavta is learning. Vahaya is teaching. Vayomer is performing. So Atu Shema lilmoid isbe. Are you telling me that Shema has the learning element? Lelamed v'laso is lesbe? But it doesn't have teaching and performing? Vaksiv. But doesn't it say, Veshinantam, should teach it to your children. Ukshartam, you should tie it on your arm. There you got teaching and performing as well. Uksavtam, you should write it on your doorpost. Vitsu. And also, so first of all, Vahapta has all three. Vahayim Shemaya lelamedu da isbe. The last is lesbe. You want to say Vahayim Shemaya is only about teaching, not about performing? Vaksiv Ukshavta Muksavta. It says you should, in addition to teaching, you should tie it on your arm, you should write it on your doorpost. So Ela Hachika Amar. So the Gemara says, you're right. What we meant to say is as follows. Bedinu shetikdam shma livayam shamaya. The truth is, the reason Shema comes before Vayim Shemaya is Shezeh Lilmoid Ulilameid Vilasos. It's because Shema includes all three elements. It's got learning, teaching, and performing. Vayim Shemaya Livayomer. Vayim Shemaya comes before Vayomer. Shezeh Yeshva Lilameid Vilasos. It's one down. It's got the teaching and the performing. Vayomer Ein Bo Elolasos Vilva. Vayomer includes only performing. So that's why it's set up this way. Shema Va'at is all three. Vayomer is two. Vayim Shemaya is two. Vayomer is one. And I just want to stress something, which is really, we're really going to touch on soon in the Gemara. But we're seeing here that what we're basically relating to these three things as fundamental functions of the Jewish people. So there are 2 points to make. First of all, the given that learning comes before performing is not really such a given, as we're actually going to see soon. In fact, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, I think it was last week's Perek, called Shemasov Merube Mechachmasei Chachmasei Miskayemes. If a person does more than he knows, then he's on the right track. If a person knows more than he does, he's not. Or where else is that expressed in a much more basic place? Na'aseh v'nishma. We'll do it and then we'll hear. So, and here we're saying, oh, obviously learning comes before teaching. Comes before performing. And the answer is, we're going to see this more elaborated on soon, but the answer is that really there's both. Meaning a person has to come with the approach, it's urgent for me to start doing right now. Whatever I know, even if sometimes a person might feel, okay, I heard that there's an obligation. After I study it right and understand it right, I'll do it. No. As soon as you know of anything, get busy. You want to work out the details, learn? Fine, approach that. But the first feeling is, I am bound. I'm committed. I got to be on the job. Now, go ahead and start working it out. In fact, Rabbi Nehemiah says that the point is, a person should feel that you approach learning with, now I'm going to learn and then I'm going to start planning practice. I'm ready to do it all. Now I'm ready to start. Now let me be told what to do. So actually, in a sense, performing comes before teaching. But yet we're stressing, don't just leave it at that. Don't say, alright, you tell me what to do and then I'm ready to do it. It goes both ways. In order to perform right, you have to learn a lot. You can't just say, alright, so why do I have to spend too much time learning? Tell me. Do this, do that, do this, do that. No. Your performance is going to be enhanced many fold by actually learning, and that's why the other side of this coin is an ignoramus cannot be a truly pious person. Pious means that he does everything the best way possible. An ignoramus can't do that. You have to do a lot of learning in order to know the best way to do it. So there's both. You have to be ready to perform even before you start learning. But then you have to learn in order to be able to do your performing right. Okay, we'll see more on this next time, Bezos Hashem.